banks, speculators, federal regulators, and even some home buyers have been blamed for turmoil in the financial system. But one other group has generally escaped scrutiny. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik asks whether the media did its job.
News organizations are judged on how they handle the big story. The New York Times and CBS's Leslie Stahl apologized for failing to challenge President Bush's claims Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction ahead of the invasion of Iraq. Hurricane Katrina? The New Orleans Times-Picayune ran a five-part front-page series that pretty much predicted what happened 3 years earlier. The press did its job, sounding the alarm. Now, I read the paper each morning, watch a fair bit of cable news, pick up magazines, but I had barely a clue that the nation's financial system could implode until it started to happen. Peter Coy says he hears that a lot. He's the economics editor for Business Week magazine.
I get this from friends, family. You know, how come all the journalists missed this big story?
Yeah, so how about it?
Our comeback is we didn't miss this story. Maybe you don't remember what we wrote. Maybe you didn't read what we wrote. But we were out there covering this stuff.
That's one school of thought. Former Wall Street Journal reporter Dean Starkman admires Coy's work in particular, but says...
My school is that you didn't tell us or you didn't tell us nearly enough.
Starkman, now with the Columbia Journalism Review, argues the financial news media can't simply blame readers.
If it absolutely has no responsibility whatsoever, then what's the point of reading it? Why be a journalist in the first place?
Sure, it's easy to talk tough nowadays, as in January, when CNBC's Maria Bartiromo grilled former Merrill Lynch CEO John Thain.
You spent more than $1 million renovating your office. Is this true?
But just listen to Bartiromo when Thain was picked to lead an already troubled Merrill only 14 months earlier.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations to you.
Former New York Times investigative editor Steve Engelberg is now managing editor of the investigative news outfit ProPublica. He says media watchdogs didn't bark for a reason.
When people said we can have a subprime crisis and subprime loans are a relatively smaller part of the economy and they don't really connect to each other, we did not understand how the credit markets worked.
Financiers and corporate chieftains chased great profits by bundling shaky mortgages together in incredibly complex investments, but they didn't comprehend the risk they were injecting into the nation's financial bloodstream. Alan Greenspan recently told CNBC he didn't either. In the past 2 years, some financial journalists did tremendous work on subprime lending and others on the collapse of AIG and Lehman Brothers. Before that, however, the weight of financial coverage fixated on lively corporate executives, frequently in glowing terms, as in many cover stories in Fortune and Forbes, or segments on CNBC, as in this interview with Netgear CEO Patrick Lowe.
This is the man who's going to take down Steve Jobs.
And as ever, there was obsessive attention to the Dow Jones, especially as it climbed. But the stock market is just one part of the financial system, says New York Times financial columnist Gretchen Morgenson.
So as long as the stock market was going up, people don't really pay attention to a lot of other things because that's their measure, that's their metric.
And news organizations themselves may not have been paying enough attention. As one of several rough measures, I reviewed more than 100 articles published before early 2007 by the New York Times with some version of the terms collateralized debt obligation or securitization. Those are the financial vehicles that got us in trouble. Few of the Times' stories were cautionary. None of those stories landed on page one. By that measure, the Wall Street Journal looks a little better. Reporters Mark Whitehouse and Greg Ipp warned readers of the risks in a front-page piece in November 2005, and Whitehouse followed up with another a year later. Even in journalism, real estate is destiny. If a paper wants your attention, it slaps the story on the front page. But if it really wants your attention, it covers a story relentlessly. Where was the critical mass? The Times' Morgenson wrote impassioned columns about each half of the equation, the disintegration of the subprime mortgage market, and also executive pay, because, as she says...
Many, many banks took on far too much risk trying to juice their profits. And often, one of the results of juiced profits is higher pay.
Morgenson says she began putting the two halves of the equation together in 2007. That brings us back to Business Week. Coy and his colleagues started reporting on the dangers of securitizing real estate investments back in 2002, but he says people just didn't want to hear it during the real estate boom. And yet, even Coy ultimately says media outlets should have sought more ways to get people to listen.
If everything we had said and written came true than we might have expected some of this to happen. But I think there was a failure of imagination among economists, policymakers, as well as journalists.
The nation's best news organizations didn't exactly fail to report on these financial weapons of mass destruction. Maybe they just didn't trust their own reporting enough to hammer it home, at least not to the point where people who were reading and watching got the message. David Folkenflik, NPR News, New York.